Ladies and gentlemen, this show is brought to you exclusively by the Reality Check Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to the RTW Raw Review. Rad Rob breaks down everything about Monday Night Raw, giving you the most in-depth, cutting-edge, comprehensive coverage than any other podcast out there. Now, without further ado, let's introduce the host of your show, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is your RTW Raw Review Show, episode number 31. I am your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. This is the go-home edition of Monday Night Raw. And I'm questioning why. Typically, the quote, go-home editions, which means the final television broadcast before the pay-per-view, they're typically some of the best shows of the month. They do whatever they can to feature the matches that they're going to have, you know, feature the feuds that they're having at the upcoming pay-per-view. And for those of you that may be on the fence, they are supposed to do something that piques your interest, that makes you want to buy the pay-per-view traditionally in the past, or watch it here on the WWE Network. So typically, they will do something shocking or, you know, something super interesting that you have to see this match, you have to see this feud, you know, pay off. It could be the blow-off to a feud after several months. The purpose of the go-home shows is to get you to watch the pay-per-view. Can't exactly say that was done here on this edition of Raw. As always, it is my job to recap the show and let you know what I thought of it, so here we are. Let's get into it. Here is what I thought about this week's Monday Night Raw. We started the show with a video recap. Oh, sorry. I didn't do my usual. Hey, as always, guys, this comes to you from the empty WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. Fuck, man. You already know that. Not even 3 minutes into the show, and I already said fuck. A video recaps last week's contract signing between the WWE Champion, Drew McIntyre, and the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins. Obviously, as most WWE contract signings, it ended up in a physical altercation with Buddy Murphy actually getting a Claymore kick because he stuck his nose in where it didn't belong. We then get our opening segment. Oh, God. You know, I tell you, sometimes WWE makes it really, really hard to stay a wrestling fan. As you've heard me say ad nauseum over the last few weeks, I am really, really, really trying to look at these shows as a wrestling fan and not be so critical about it. But I can tell you, as a wrestling fan, it's not all that good. There's only so many excuses I could possibly make for the WWE. And I know that I said I'm not going to bash WWE or AEW or anybody that's putting on entertainment right now during the pandemic. But fuck. Sometimes you just have to do it. I will give you my thoughts after this opening segment. Here is MVP in the VIP lounge and his very special guests, the women on the Raw side for the upcoming Women's Money in the Bank contract ladder match.
Do you even pay attention to Monday Night Raw? Have you not seen me dominate the last few weeks? Destroy every opponent they put in front of me? I'm relentless. And that's the only skill I need to dominate and destroy my opponents this Sunday.
Asuka, would you care to respond?
Very rude. Big booty. Not VIP.
Okay, that was very clear. That's Shayna, you are first and foremost a cage fighter with a very unique set of skills of your own. How will those help you to win the Money in the Bank match?
I do all my talking with my actions. Isn't that right, Asuka?
No manners! Not VIP!
Basil and Asuka turn their attention to Nia Jax.
I was afraid this is going to happen. I was hoping it would.
Let's save it for the fight, huh?
What's going on, everybody? My name is Vampiro. This right here is the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Tune in, get tuned up, get informed, and enjoy the podcast.
Hey, everyone. This is Sharon Waxman. I'm the founder and the editor-in-chief of The Wrap, the premier news source for daily coverage of the entertainment industry. I'm also your host of this new podcast, The Wrap-Up, a show that gives you an insider's look at the top stories in Hollywood. Each week, we'll bring you the latest news on the business of movies, TV, streaming, and tech. So be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you each week on The Wrap-Up.
What's going on? You have John Wangland, one of the hosts of Wrestling With Reality. Check out our shows this week on Wrestling With Reality. We have some great shows. We have our MMA show. We look at, is Khabib Nurmagomedov versus George St. Pierre a reality? Why John Jones is such a disgrace to the UFC? We also have on WCW Monday Nitro Watch Along, and we take a look back at Triple H in his 25-year career in the WWE. So check out Wrestling With Reality on all major podcast outlets.
Jesus. So, look, this is why I hate this. I hated this. It's the same fucking thing they did last week. We opened the show last week with MVP in the VIP lounge with the men's Money in the Bank contract ladder match qualifiers from Raw. And now this week, it's the women. This is really the best you could fucking do for your opening segment of the show? No offense against MVP, but it was an awful fucking segment. Shayna Baszler sucks on the mic. Nia Jax is so fucking unlikable. And Asuka probably is a heel. It's probably the most popular of them all because she just yells at people in Japanese. although I said I was getting a little bit tired of that last week, it actually worked here for me. And she was even, she was caught on camera singing Nia Jax's song. I don't know if she's mocking her or whatever, but I'm not like most girls. You could literally see her mouth that. This fucking segment sucked. And I'm so shocked that this didn't turn into, you know, a fucking six-person tag team match. That's just, I was really surprised by that. Coming up after the commercial break is the Last Chance Gauntlet match to determine the final entrant in the Men's Money in the Bank contract ladder match for the Raw side. As we saw last week, that Apollo Crews was injured in his match against Andrade, and where they stopped the match, and they showed him walking out on crutches after the show. This is to fill the final spot. The entrants were not named at all, so we had no idea who was going to be in this match. And we start off with Bobby Lashley against Titus O'Neil. Very, very quick match. The bell rang. They circled each other. They locked up. They tussled around the ring for position. Lashley kneed Titus in the gut. Titus punched him and pushed him back in the corner. Chopped the hell out of him in the chest. But Lashley quickly fought back and just got a spear out of nowhere for a quick elimination. So Bobby Lashley defeated Titus O'Neil in the first part of this gauntlet match. The next entrant into this match was Akira Tozawa, who suffered the same fate. Tozawa started hot with a spin kick to the face and a missile drop kick, but Lashley never went down, never really sold it, never left his feet. Tozawa hit the ropes, and Lashley came out of nowhere with another spear for another elimination. We then had Shelton Benjamin, who we haven't seen in quite a while. Benjamin put up a little bit more of a fight. They wrestled for about 2 or 3 minutes. Lashley went for the spear on Shelton, but Shelton was smarter than the rest of the guys, and leapfrogged over him. He then went to kick Lashley in the face. Bobby blocked it, but as he pushed his leg, Benjamin spun around with his signature, you know, spinning kick to the face. Lashley got back up from that. As Shelton was running against the ropes, he hit Shelton with a spear and eliminated Shelton Benjamin out of this match. This is all before commercial break, by the way. We then have the returning Humberto Carrillo, Brad Shepherd's favorite wrestler, Captain Dimples himself, Humberto Carrillo. Who had been on Main Event for a while. He got demoted to Main Event, only on the network. But it was good to see him back here on Raw. And he put up a good fight. You know, he is the ultimate babyface, right? Eventually, he got to the point to where Lashley got him in the corner and started stomping the shit out of him. The referee pushed him out of the way, and Lashley went back and kept kicking him. Referee warned him that if he doesn't stop, he's going to get disqualified. Lashley argued with the ref and said he didn't give a shit, so the referee had no choice but to disqualify Bobby Lashley. So by DQ, Humberto Carrillo defeated Bobby Lashley. After that, Lashley got really pissed off and tore Carrillo in half with a spear. Just started to beat him down until more referees came out and told Lashley to leave. When we come back from the first commercial break during this match, we get the next opponent to face Humberto Carrillo in this gauntlet match, and that is his cousin, Angel Garza, with the hot, smoking hot Zelina Vega. Dude, these guys are fantastic together. These guys went back and forth with knees and drop kicks and super kicks and planchas, and just it was so good. These guys are so, so good together. Near the end of this particular match, Garza went to the second rope, hit a springboard moonsault for a near fall. Garza set up for a wing clipper, but Humberto dropped down. Garza powered into it, but eventually Carrillo countered into a roll-up for the win right out of nowhere. So Humberto defeated his cousin, Angel Garza. After that, we get Austin Theory. Shocker, right? So Zelina just didn't go anywhere, just stayed right there. Theory was dominating Carrillo for a good part of this match. Hit him with a superplex. But as soon as I hit the mat, Carrillo caught him with an inside cradle for the elimination. It was pretty crafty by Humberto. Our last entrant is returning AJ Styles. We have not seen AJ Styles since WrestleMania 36 when he got buried alive by The Undertaker in the Boneyard match. But that music hit and the crowd went crazy at home. I'm sure they did. AJ was introduced. We went to a commercial break. When we come back, we see Carrillo drop kick Styles. Styles quickly knee Carrillo down, stopped him in his midsection. AJ turned him inside out with a slam for a near fall. AJ applied abdominal stretch. Carrillo elbowed him in the ribs. Humberto fought out, so Styles attacks his knee, hits him with a dragon screw, starts attacking the leg even more, starts stretching it out and working on the leg, a la Ric Flair used to do. Carrillo comes back with a roll-up. Style kicked out. Styles then stunned him with a clothesline that Carrillo didn't take correctly. I'm not sure where the disconnect was, but I don't know if he expected that spot. You know, if AJ was just calling on the fly, but it didn't look good. Styles took him down, applied the calf crusher for the win. Winner by submission, AJ Styles. AJ is the final entrant on the Raw side into the Men's Money in the Bank contract ladder match coming up this Sunday, only on the WWE Network and select pay-per-view sites all around the world. Yes, DirecTV actually still provides this service if you wanted to purchase the pay-per-view. I don't know how much it costs, but I can't imagine people would buy this show and didn't know about the WWE Network, but either way, yes. In America, I can't speak for the rest of the world. In America, pay-per-views are still available through DirecTV. That's insanity. After the match, AJ slammed Carrillo's knee off the ring post a few times. Styles is the final entrant, as I said. He then grabs the mic and cuts a phenomenal promo. No pun intended. Which I do want to play for you right now. Here is your final entrant into the Men's Money in the Bank contract ladder match, the phenomenal AJ Styles.
I'm going to do anything, and I mean anything, to get that Money in the Bank contract. And if that means throwing a Rey Mysterio or an Aleister Black off the top of WWE headquarters, then so be it. They haven't been what I've been through. They haven't seen what I have seen. So get ready to rewrite the history books on the greatest moments in Money in the Bank history. Because the truth is, AJ Styles will be number one. Because I'm winning that contract where I'm guaranteed an opportunity at the WWE Championship. And then finally then, when I get that contract.
Business with personality. That's the idea that launched London's business newspaper, City AM, 15 years ago. And it's the same idea that inspired our new daily podcast, The City View, where you'll find me, City AM editor Christian May, interviewing the most well-known, influential and colourful figures from business, politics and finance. The City View from City AM. With a new episode every morning, it's the perfect start to your working day.
Hey everyone, this is Stan Wangler from Just Thinking. Stop on by this week and listen to some of the great podcasts we have lined up for you. Two in particular are really good shows. One is called Are We Driving Ourselves Insane? Well, are we? And the next one is called Have You Been Having a Bad Day? Did you have a bad day? Well, if you did, this is the show for you. And I bet you, when you get done listening, you'll feel a lot better. So join us.
Act. Mr. Money in the Bank can be phenomenal.
I'm not a zombie or a ghost. There's no Undertaker to steal my spotlight. So what if he got buried, right? He can admit it. He didn't lose anything. There's no rules in a Boneyard match. It is so good. Such a good promo. The Gauntlet match was all right. It wasn't bad. I liked Lashley dominating in the beginning, and it got better towards the end. So it's good to see AJ Styles back. I really liked it. We go to a commercial break. When we come back, we see the top 10 moments in the Money in the Bank ladder match over the years. We then get this next segment, which I'm going to play for you right now. It is Charlie Caruso interviewing the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins.
How do you prepare for a WWE title match against someone as dominant as Drew McIntyre?
It's an interesting question, because Drew is a dominant champion. He's a fighter. He's a warrior. He is an honorable man. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. He is not a leader. And it is not his destiny to be the champion that takes us into the future. It is mine. And so what you're really asking is, how am I preparing to meet my destiny? And Drew McIntyre is going to put up a hell of a fight at Money in the Bank. The WWE Championship just means too much to him. But I am willing to sacrifice myself for the greater good that is my destiny. And look, everyone thinks that I'm trying to take something from Drew McIntyre, but that's just not true. That's not the case. Because being a champion and being a leader is more than just what you do in this ring. You represent an entire generation and all the generations that came before you. You represent an entire industry. That is your responsibility, to be that champion, to be that leader. And Drew is not ready for the pain and the suffering and the agony and the despair that comes with being a champion, both mentally and physically. He's not ready. And so I'm not trying to crush Drew's dreams. I'm not trying to take anything from him. I am trying to unburden him, to take the weight off of his shoulders and to put it onto my own. I am trying to save Drew McIntyre. And that is the absolute truth. And at Money in the Bank, my destiny will become a reality when I stand in this ring. When I stand in this ring with my hand held high and the announcement rings true. And new WWE Champion, the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins.
Viva la Raza! Hey everyone, this is Vicky Guerrero, and you're listening to the Reality Check Podcast Network. Excuse me!
Seth was very despondent, but very confident. He had a very strong, determined look on his face. But he's almost like... looked like he was burdened at the same time. He's really playing out this whole Messiah role perfectly. Like he's confident, but he's conflicted because he knows what he has to do and people aren't going to like what he has to do, but somebody has to do it. He has to take one for the team to right the wrongs and to right the ship, which, no pun intended, from WrestleMania 36. He will become the new WWE champion. It could happen. It's a WWE. You know, Vince McMahon used to say back in the day, anything could happen in the WWF. That was my happy Vince voice. That wasn't my, like, you know, anything can happen in the WWF. I don't have a good happy Vince, but that was my happy Vince. And now it's just Vince. Like, his, it's almost like he's turned into a parody of himself. Like, his voice is all, you know, gargly and raspy. Gargly, what the fuck does gargly mean? That's all fucking raspy now and all that. Like, that's his normal speaking voice. That's what happens when you get old. But anyway, not me, because I have the voice of an angel. Shane Thorne and Brendan Vink are shown backstage with MVP. MVP wants to give them one final word of encouragement. MVP says that it is a miracle that they have this opportunity. Two of Australia's finest versus two of Raw's flyest. See what he did there? Vink says that Ricochet and Alexander can talk about what it's like to lose to them next. We go to commercial. When we come back, we see a package highlighting Edge, and that Edge will make his Raw in-ring return. That makes me want some chicken wings. I am fucking hungry. Edge will make his Raw in-ring return next week against Randy Orton in a rematch from WrestleMania 36. Don't have it on the pay-per-view, right? Have it for fucking free on an empty Raw next week. Oh, you can't make this shit up, right? Edge against Randy Orton on Raw. In front of nobody. I'm not saying it won't be a fantastic match. I'm not saying, look, the in-ring work has been really, really good while these you know, the fans have been gone. It's fucking Edge and Randy Orton. Don't you think it deserves to have a little bit of fans there, maybe a month or two or three, four from now? Why? Why? I just want to know why. To get ratings back? Is that really what you want to do? I mean, nobody's home right now. No one's watching sports. No movies, new movies are coming out. I mean, yeah, you got Netflix and Hulu and all the new shows and, you know, lots of shit to watch, but nobody's watching wrestling right now with no other sport around. Nobody's watching wrestling. It's fucking sad. Charlie Caruso interviews, I almost said Eddie Murphy, Buddy Murphy backstage. It would be really fucking weird if Charlie Caruso interviewed Eddie Murphy. Charlie asks Murphy, why is he so loyal to Seth Rollins? Murphy says that he wants to learn from Rollins and to get to his level. Maybe even one day he'll be better. That's later, though. But for now, Seth Rollins thinks that Seth can beat Drew McIntyre, and Murphy believes that he can as well. He being Buddy Murphy. Pronouns, pal. Murphy knows that he can beat McIntyre, so that's going to be your main event. In the meantime, we have Shane Thorne and Brendan Vink, who I mentioned before the commercial break, taking on Ricochet and Cedric Alexander. I did not expect what would happen to the outcome of this match. Thorne and Vink won. Ricochet and Cedric have been on a little bit of a roll. Yeah, they did lose to the karaoke fucking Viking guys, the Viking singers, the masked Vikings singers. But other than that, you know, they've beat everybody else. But they lost. They lost. And a pretty competitive match. It was really high flying. A lot of spots I've never even seen before. There was there was one point where Ricochet hit a... What the fuck is the name of that move? Like a throwback is maybe what they call it. It's like a Cena's done it before. Mr. Perfect used to do it, you know, where you know, it's almost like a blockbuster move off the top, but it's done in the ring. I thought they called it the throwback. It's had so many different names, but just a flipping neck snap onto Cedric Alexander's knee. So it was like a throwback into a backbreaker. It was fucking fantastic. It was a unique double team move that I have never, ever seen before. Very, very cool. Alexander, to me, is a very underrated guy. I don't know much about him. Before he got to WWE, we haven't seen much promo-wise from this guy. We all know what I think about Ricochet's fucking promos, right? But I think Cedric can be a real, real star. And to be quite honest, I'm very, very serious about this, and you guys are probably going to hate me for it. just based on what I see and how he carries himself, it feels to me like Cedric Alexander has more personality and more charisma than Ricochet. Ricochet is just a cool guy. He's a nice guy. He's a fantastic athlete and a good wrestler. But I don't see him as a big star. And it's funny, there's so many people tweeting, oh, you need to let Ricochet out of his contract. You know, they buried him all year. He's in a fucking tag team now. Let him out of his contract. Let him go to AEW where he can be a star. Really? Because Jericho's there, Moxley's there, Matt Hardy's there, Jake Hager, Chris Jericho. So many other people there. You think Ricochet is going to be the fucking top guy in AEW? Fucking really? You guys really need to fucking get over this shit. No offense against Ricochet. He's not that guy. He is not the guy. Nor will he ever be the guy. Never, ever, 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 ever in this universe will Ricochet be the guy to lead the company. It's not going to happen. You need to bring, I've said this plenty of times, you need to bring more to the table than just being a fucking fantastic athlete. Shane Thorne and Brendan Vink get the win here. Vink hit Ricochet with a giant fucking big boot and turned him inside out. It was pretty fucking impressive. Vink's a big guy. He's 6'5". He's a pretty big dude, and Shane Thorne has a fucking fantastic look. It looks like they make a little push out of these guys. These guys looked really, really good in this match, and I was pretty shocked, but you know, WrestleView is one of the sites that I like following, and they tweeted out, it can't get any lower for Ricochet, can it? That's what having no character will get you. Fucking spot on. Very, very smart. See, I'm not the only one that thinks this shit. Our next match is for the Raw Tag Team Championship. Your Raw Tag Team Champions, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, taking on the Viking Raiders. The Viking Raiders had a video package on last week's Raw saying that the Prophets have never, ever beaten the Viking Raiders. And no matter what happened, no matter where they've gone, you know, the reason why the Prophets got the NXT Tag Team titles is because, well, because the Viking Raiders left them. They relinquished their titles to move up to the main roster. When the Raiders got to the main roster on Raw, they won the Raw Tag Team Championships. The only reason why the Street Profits became the Tag Team Champions is because Ivar got hurt against Murphy and Rollins, and they lost. So no matter what, the main theme is the Viking Raiders have done it first, and the Street Profits have always fallen in their shadows, and they have never, ever beaten the Raiders. It goes for right now as well. Your new tag team champions are the Viking Raiders. In a hotly contested match that went back and forth, really beat the crap out of each other. Montez Ford is so freaking obnoxious, and he's probably why I haven't been as high on the Street Profits as of late, but you know, their in-ring work is fantastic, and these two teams really, really, really worked well together. But in the end, Dawkins got hit with the Viking Experience for a clean pin, so your new two-time Raw Tag Team Champions, Eric and Ivar, the Viking Raiders. After the match, they were interviewed backstage. They said they like the Street Profits, but no matter what, like they've said before, they still are the better tag team, and the raid is now on. They're going to take on all challengers and be fighting champions. Aleister Black was shown backstage. Black asked AJ Styles how it felt to be buried alive. Now that Styles is talking about throwing Aleister off the building, if he managed to do that, Styles better pray that Black doesn't get back up. My wife was watching with me, and when she heard this, she says, how does one get up from being thrown off the top of a tower? Black said he will climb the ladder and make Styles wish he was buried deeper than 6 feet. After commercial, Rey Mysterio Cuts a promo backstage by himself. He says that he's been in WWE long enough to know what to expect in matches, except this Sunday. He doesn't have a lot of chances left, so you can bet your ass that he'll be working hard to win the match and to get that Money in the Bank contract. Charlotte Flair, your NXT Women's Champion, comes out next, which I do want to play for you right now. She talks about playing double duty, and she's interrupted by somebody that I didn't quite expect. Here is your NXT Women's Champion, the Queen, Charlotte Flair.
I will be facing the number one contender, Io Shirai. A few weeks ago, she won a brutal ladder match, making her the number one contender, giving her the opportunity to face me. But on top of all of that, you know what Io said? She said that Charlotte Flair was her dream opponent. Man, that makes me happy. You know why? Because I get to make Io's dreams come true when she has the privilege of bowing down to the queen.
Well, that remains to be seen on NXT, but well, look who's here, Liv Morgan.
Oh, hey, Queen. Remember me? Think really, really hard.
I'm thinking you want my attention. And I'm thinking that you want me to take the new Liv Morgan serious.
Wow. I don't need you to take me seriously for taking a minute to figure out who I am or who I want to be. Wow, Char. Not all of us are born with silver frickin' spoons shoved up our ass in our mouths. I also didn't have a daddy to walk me to school, let alone to the front of the line of my career of choice. But it's okay because I don't want you to worry about me figuring out who I am, because sooner or later, I'm going to be a champion. And Char, if that means I have to knock down a couple backstabbers or dethrone a self-entitled queen, well, blessed be.
You don't know who you are. But you see, Liv, I know who I am. Yes, I am Ric Flair's daughter. Yes, I was born with a silver spoon. And guess what? I am damn proud of it. And here, you know, you came out here being so authentic with your story. It's a shame because you just said the same thing about me that I've been hearing for years. You know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to come out here and tell me that I was your dream opponent, like Io said. No, but it's because of you and Io. That's the way you guys want to compete with me. But both of you will bow down to the queen.
Okay, cool. Well then, why don't we get a referee down here, Queenie, and see what happens.
Hey, this is Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. It's amazing to me that turtles have the ability to speak, let alone host wrestling podcasts. I guess that's what makes them rad.
This segment sucked. Charlotte made a comment about working double duty. It's like, I have to work on Monday and Wednesday. And I was in the kitchen getting something to eat. And I said, bitch, I got to work Monday through Friday. And on the weekends with streaming and YouTube and podcasting and all that, I pretty much work 2-3 jobs. And you're complaining about having to show up on Raw and NXT. Poor fucking Charlotte Flair. So she gets interrupted by Liv Morgan for fucking who knows what reason. Apparently they had some heat between the two from SmackDown last year. I don't even fucking remember that. That led to an impromptu match between Liv and Charlotte. In the end, Charlotte wins with the figure eight. Not much to talk about. The announcers talked about how Liv Morgan earned so much respect from this loss, but it's all in the follow-up. If Morgan comes back strong and gets a push from this, then that's one thing. But if this is just a fucking one-off match, and it, for what? To prove how good Charlotte is? Like, has she not proven that already? She's like the 95-time fucking women's champion, so I don't even know. That leads us to our main event, Drew McIntyre, your WWE champion, taking on Buddy Murphy with Seth Rollins in his corner. Really good match. Probably my favorite match of the night, even though the main events haven't really been that long, like 7 to 10 minutes. But they're doing such a great fucking job with Drew McIntyre, keeping him look stupid strong. Look, you guys know how much I love Buddy Murphy. He's probably my favorite Australian in the entire world. It's not really saying much, but Murphy does a fantastic job. He's so stiff and so crisp and clean with his stuff. His work, there's no holes in his work. I mean, he looks so good. Everything he does is real. It looks real and is believable. Man, these guys literally beat the piss out of each other. I think I saw piss in Murphy's tights, but I'm not even sure why I was looking. Fantastic match. In the end, McIntyre got him with the Claymore kick, turned him inside out. Rollins climbed in the ring, was about to attack Drew. Drew said, come on, make my fucking day, man. Seriously, get in the ring right now. I'm going to fucking kill you. Then Rollins thought better of it and walked away. So when Seth was looking towards the announce booth, the announce booth is up at the top of the ring for Raw. I'm trying to think of who was outside there. Maybe it was Murphy that was distracting him outside the ring. That's what it was. Yeah, he was shouting at Murphy and said something. And then out of nowhere, Rollins fucking nailed him from behind and super kicked him. And then he went for the curb stomp at McIntyre, avoided it, hit him with a Glasgow kiss. And he's about to claymore Seth, and Seth got out of the ring. And that was the end of your show. So overall, it was a pretty fucking boring episode of Raw. There's a lot of stuff that just dragged. I liked the main event. I thought the Raw tag team title match was good. I love the AJ promo. That was about it. I mean, the Vink and Thorn Ricochet match, that was decent for what it was. I'd like to see more of those guys. But largely, this show fucking sucked. You know, for a go-home show, it just wasn't good. It just wasn't good. And it's so sad. Like, I'm going to title this episode kind of like a math equation. Stay home plus go home equals unwatchable. You know, it's bad enough that the show just wasn't good for what should be a show, like I said, that's supposed to lead you towards wanting to watch the pay-per-view to see what happens in these matches. And without any crowd there, that just fucking makes it even harder to watch exponentially. At least if the crowd was there, and, you know, maybe they would be sitting on their hands and being fucking bored too, but even if they were just chanting, you know, shit about themselves, trying to take over the show, at least you'd have something fucking entertaining to watch. And while I said there were, you know, a few entertaining segments of the show, overall, for a 3-fucking-hour show, it dragged on. And especially with nobody there, it's becoming unwatchable. Now, I can't say the same for SmackDown. SmackDown's been really good the last 2 weeks, but Raw has not. Raw has been really, really bad, and this was another bad show. I just did not enjoy it. It wasn't fun. Wasn't fun for me to watch, but in any event, we'll see what happens this coming Friday on SmackDown in their go home show. Hopefully it's a lot better than this one. It can't get much worse. So in any event, guys, this will actually be the final RTW Raw review as a standalone show. As I mentioned in the last couple of weeks, I am launching a new show starting next Tuesday, May 12th. Will be RTW Rewind. Going over some of the greatest matches of all times. Talking about a lot of wrestlers or personalities that influenced me and most of you from the past. If you like old school stuff, this is for you. If you like stuff from the 80s and from the 90s and probably up until the early 2000s, it's pretty hard to believe that fucking early 2000s is fucking retro, but yeah, it's 2020. I mean, it is. 2000 was 20 years ago. I mean, that's fucking, to a lot of newer fans, that's fucking old school. You know what I mean? Like, they grew up, you know, like, kids grew up with the Ruthless Aggression era. Like, a lot of us, you know, a lot of you grew up in the Attitude Era, and then me, who grew up in the Golden Age, as they like to call it, you know, in the mid to late 80s. Yeah, but we'll be covering a lot of stuff in the past. We'll be doing, like, watch-alongs. I'll be talking about, you know, a lot of wrestlers that influenced me growing up, and some of the most influential stars in the history of wrestling from the 80s and 90s. I'll be having guests on, which I can announce to you right now. The first episode will have the former WCW producer and the iconic voice of the NWO, Neil Pruitt, who has his own podcast, The Secrets of WCW Nitro, that came out a couple years ago. That was on hiatus for a while, but it will be coming back here soon. Neil has seen it all and done it all, working in Deep South Wrestling before WWE had purchased it, which we didn't get into too much in that episode, but we will when I have him hopefully on again here in the next couple of months. There's so much that we didn't get into. But starting off in Deep South and then going to Turner Broadcasting and working for them for many, many years. I think it was like 14 years or so that he had a big run there right up until the end in 2001 when WWE had bought WCW. But Neil tells some fantastic stories and a lot of stuff that I've never heard before. It's a very, very entertaining show that you guys are going to like. So, and he's the voice of the NWO. And that even popped in and out of the show. So that was really, really cool. I get chills to hear, you know, New World Order. It's just, whew. I mean, that's something that we'll never forget. You know, the following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order. You'll never, ever forget that. You know, even the song, the New World Order. That's Neil. Neil is the voice. And Neil produced and worked with some of the best that you'll ever see in this business and probably never will see again. So that'll be our first episode of RTW Rewind with Neil Pruitt next Tuesday, May 12th. So I hope you guys tune in for that because it's absolutely going to be worth listening to. I promise you, you'll get a lot out of that show as I did. We barely even scratched the surface of what I wanted to talk about. So you guys, I appreciate all your support, man. The worldwide support for this podcast it still continues to blow me away. Every week, I'm noticing that even our international downloads are going up. You know, at one point when we started, it was about 2 or 3%. Right now, I'm at about 16% international downloads, and that literally grows every single day. So I appreciate all your support from around the world. So that being said, if you need to follow me on social media, if you care to hear what I have to say when there's, well, I wouldn't say that I have a filter here, but my Twitter timeline can get pretty entertaining. Check me out on Twitter at RadRobGaming. If you like video games, especially, you know, like Super Mario stuff, I play a lot of Super Mario Maker 2. I am a YouTube content creator and a Twitch streamer. So if you want to check me out on Twitch, I stream every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central and every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Central. That's twitch.com/RadRobGaming, or just go to Twitch and search RadRobGaming. And as well on YouTube, search RadRobGaming. Leave me a sub. I would greatly appreciate it. Subs, likes, everything that gets me through the algorithms, as well as this podcast too. I don't ever push this on you guys, and I know a lot of people do, but it's something I got to remember to do consistently because it's actually smart business sense. Please leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. You would have no idea how much that would mean to me and how much it actually means to this show, especially when a lot of successes are attributed to iTunes and Apple Podcasts. That's how you get up through the charts. It's not just all about downloads. It's about likes and rankings and follows and all that. But if you could leave me a 5-star review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, I would be your best friend for the entire rest of your life, or my life, whichever comes first. But check out my YouTube gaming channel, Rad Rob Gaming, my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/RadRobGaming, at Rad Rob Gaming on Twitter. I make it easy for you to find me. And if you want to tweet or follow the show on Twitter, as always, we are at Rad Turtles POD. You can send us an email, radturtleswrestling@gmail.com. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/radturtleswrestling, or just search Rad Turtles Wrestling and like the page and follow us there on Facebook. If you want to purchase a show. Hey, buy my show up, pal. I need to get the fuck out. That's a drunk Vince McMahon. If you want to buy a t-shirt to rep my show, I would greatly appreciate it. I have two shirts for sale, two different designs up on ProWrestlingTees/RadTurtlesWrestling, or just go to Pro Wrestling Tees and search Rad Turtles Wrestling and buy a shirt. I got kids. We all need to get by in this crazy ass world, right? And then if you want to check out the rest of our shows, you can find all of our links at our company website for the Reality Check Podcast Network. It is rcpodnetwork.com. That's rcpodnetwork.com. That is our official website for the Reality Check Podcast Network. Thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate all of your support. You have been listening. Oh, wait, that's my outro. I really do appreciate you guys. I will be back here on Thursday for your Wednesday Night War show. Until then, guys, have a good couple of days, and we'll see you on Thursday for the AEW versus NXT Wednesday Night War. Take care, guys. Thanks for listening to the RTW Raw Review Show. Once again, you can tweet the show at RadTurtlesPOD or email us at RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We appreciate all your support. You have been listening to the RTW Raw Review Show only here on the Reality Check Podcast Network.